welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And Brian Keller is traveling somewhere.
Traveling.
Yeah, exactly. So glad to be back in the studio. Kudos to Nick, Laura, Charles, and Jeff for sitting in for us. While we build Jelly Bean and connect demos and manage a bunch of other
and curl
crazy
up in
stuff.
The fetal position in the floor.
Yes. So, but let's get right into it. It's the week past mix. Now, one of the big things is for those who didn't attend the event, there's 127 sessions. I think they're should be all online.
Yeah.
And we have the Greg Duncan view for the full list of all the sessions as well. And I believe you can subscribe to the RSS feed in Zune and actually have it download all the sessions.
Yeah, and all the high-quality versions are up there as well. If you go on our website, you can get the smooth streaming version to reduce your bandwidth overall. But the cool thing is like we've done this in multiple past conferences. We release them in 24 hours.
Yeah. So add comments, add ratings. You get to kind of see what's going on as well. And always interesting to see the most viewed. It's always a nice snapshot into events to see what people are talking about. For people who haven't been to the event section as well, you can also, you know, search just by tag. So if you want just ASP.net, for example, or just a certain speaker level, you can do that as well. So lots of cool stuff. And of course, you can watch the keynotes. So plenty of stuff to download there. Now, Steve Sanderson had a session on this, which is Knockout GS. He released 1.2.
Yes.
So, for people that aren't familiar with Knockout GS, we probably need to go. Let's go to the code view, and we see just a real simple. And this is a JavaScript library that basically does a lot of the data binding things that you would expect that maybe Silverlight developers have gotten familiar with. But basically, we have a view model, which has a person's name, which is the initial state, and it's observable. We have a input text, and it's data bound to that person name, and the value update is an event, so with a key up event.
Yep.
And now we have a div whose visibility is determined whether this is true or false. So if the person's the length of the person's name is greater than 5, then that becomes true. Then you can actually say, wow, what a long name you have.
Yeah.
So it's a real basic example, but it shows you how you can do things in JavaScript with data binding.
Yeah, I mean, that's really powerful. I mean, it's basically the observable interface now in JavaScript.
Yeah, and for people that are using jQuery as well, the new version supports jQuery templating.
Okay.
So definitely check it out. It's very cool if you haven't used it. It's not a replacement for jQuery. I think they work together. There's a lot of synergy there, and kudos to Steve Sanderson, and check out the talk if you're interested in more as opposed to just the Hello World demo. So Glimpse.
It's like Firefox on the server side.
Firebug. Fail. Glimpse was, I think, the hit, one of the most popular things at John Papa's open source event. I remember I was there with Hanselman, Omar Khan, and I think Phil Hack, when everybody was just kind of getting their first view of Glimpse because they hadn't seen it before. And Hanselman, this is Hanselman's post that actually walks through just very high-level Glimpse, and it's almost in the style of Firebug. You have multiple tabs, you can do things like routes, and basically see what's going on your server when your application actually loaded. So definitely check it out and watch the video as well to see all the capabilities, because even this blog post just goes into just writing, showing simple trace statements and showing what routes were used.
Embedded Excel spreadsheets. This is something that has been shown around for a while, but this actually, Greg Duncan, friend of the show, goes in and shows how you can literally use Office web app or Microsoft Excel web app and be able to have an Excel spreadsheet and post it into your web page,
mm-hmm.
and then allow, if you do, editing and whatnot from it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, without having Excel installed as well.
It's a live spreadsheet, if you will,
that
you can embed on your page. So definitely cool stuff and something else to add to your web apps, because a lot of people are still using, say, Excel for calculations or you know, spitting out CSV files, whatever it happens to be. So Touch Studio, Pelly and team, they had done some of this with some of their other apps, but basically think of it as a Windows Phone 7 app that you run and gives you an IDE. So you can watch the video to see more, and that you can see sort of the implementation of IntelliSense and some of the other libraries that they have as well. So it's not necessarily for building your own app, of which you'd need Windows Phone, Developer Express, or Visual Studio with that add-in installed. But it's kind of cool to just kind of play around and see the things that you can do with Windows Phone 7.
Yeah, and
very dynamically.
And what they, to make it a lot easier for the UI, they had big buttons. So it's very like, you click that, boom, you know. It's a lot easier than typing in code on a tiny little keyboard.
Cool stuff. So, async.
Yes.
Async CDP was another big thing that happened at Mix, and there was, you know, a ton of announcements, and I didn't want to do a rehash show of all the cool announcements. I suggest watch the keynotes. But async, now for people who haven't seen async, you know, you do the prefix to say a method there for a task, and then basically what you're going to have happen is a long-running process, like calling web client, download data, task async. I have to wait till that downloads, and normally it would be an event. Now I can use the await keyword, and once that's actually done, it pumps into data, and I add it in. So basically, we can imagine like very long-running tasks, or things where I'd normally have to do this thing of an event or something else asynchronous to make sure something's done, to then fire back on the current UI thread, and all these other sort of...
It helps simplify your code.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people have loved this since the announcement on PDC. So await and async, of course, the new version of the refresh has a bunch of new features, and just to highlight some of them, Windows Phone 7 development, VS SP1 support, including non-English.
That's a big one, because it did break in VS or with the SP1, and so now that works. That's been corrected. You said Windows Phone also has Silverlight support now as well.
Yeah, Go Live license, which is use at your own risk.
Yes,
which
so means... as is, but you can use it if you choose to. They did a bunch of bug fixes as well.
And I think the other interesting part is they have samples that show some of our thinking on how unit testing might work with the async feature, which is kind of interesting, which is how do you test something
that's non-deterministic.
Yeah. So... that should be fun, and obviously lots of videos. Lucian has one as well. Alex Stern has a video showing the WP7 app that uses Visual Studio Async in action. So you can actually see, you know, you kind of get the high-level concepts with the things they're doing, and then you actually see an application of it working. I believe this is using Netflix OData.
Yep.
And calling that asynchronously as you scroll. So go through that app and play.
Jeff Wilcox, a buddy of mine, so he's one of the developers on the Silverlight team, and this was checking in with Jeff Wilcox with Eric Meyer and Charles Torrey, and they go in and just chit-chat about what he's working on right now. So if you have used the Silverlight toolkit, he's one of the guys behind it, not the guy, but one of the guys, and just chit-chatting. So in this video, they're talking about actually coding in C++.
Yeah.
Because...
at some level, if you're building the app platform, you need to encapsulate you know, resources, and you're probably going to do that in C++ and maybe even C.
So, yeah, it's a great video, interesting. You know, it's a typical Charles really long video, but it goes in great depth.
Cool. Good stuff. Now, normally, Brian Keller.
Enemy of the show. Enemy. I'm putting that on record.
Normally he tries to get paid by the TFS plugs. This is actually one that will hopefully not make you yawn, which is a TFS monitor WP7 app that what it allows you to do is actually monitor your CodePlex project.
Okay.
So it's built with the OData CodePlex project, and there are ways to have it point to your custom OData store for your TFS, but by default, since so many of us have CodePlex projects, definitely check this out to track on what's going on, because that's what's important.
Did someone comment on my blog post?
See, I think, maybe, you know, you get to see somebody closing something, updates wikis.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. I haven't tried this yet. I do actually want to load it and see if it
start
gives you...
Start monitoring my work.
See how much it gives you in terms of information.
Okay.
Or at least do the... I'd love to do the reporting as well, which is most check-ins are done Saturday night at 2 a.m. It's like the ability to have no life on a project. And just have the top 10 no life developers? No. See, that's rude. That's rude. Another Greg Duncanism.
Yes.
Dropping in on Dropbox with DropNet. So, you're a Dropbox user?
I am. I used to be a Live Mesh, and then I started running into the problem of hidden folder conflicts because Live Mesh can't do hidden folders. So I switched over to Dropbox, and I'm a big advocate of it. And for those who don't know what Live Mesh or Dropbox is, it's basically a file repo that goes up to the cloud and disseminates among all your clients. So if I update one file on my desktop, it then goes to any other desktop with the client installed in. Sends those files.
Now, there is a cost associated with Dropbox, and I know Live Mesh is free for the first 5 gigs.
Dropbox is free for the first 2 gigs, and then it's like 10 gigs is $10, so figure a gig is $1. And they have added incentives, like if I get you to join in, I get some extra space.
And that's why you're doing this. Okay, great.
I didn't tell anyone my username. No, but it's a nice tool. Dropbox, Live Mesh, you know, pick whatever tool works best for you.
And I think the cool part about this is, unlike Live Mesh, this actually has an API.
Yes, which is also very, very cool. So this is actually a phone client demo, but I'm pretty sure the DropNet is just a generic library, so you can use it with any client.
Meaning?
I'm sorry, WPF, Win32, .NET.
Yeah, okay. It's a .NET wrapper.
Yes.
Yes, that you can use that wraps all the Dropbox APIs. And this example just happens to, hey, I want to see my stuff on WP7. Got it. So picks of the week!
Picks of the week! Okay, so this was, mine is auto-updating for NuGet. So I ran into the problem of, with the phone toolkit of, since I have the CodePlex and the NuGet push.
So you own a CodePlex project
yes.
called the Coding for Fun Toolkit.
The Coding for Fun Toolkit. Right now, this is the Phone 7 part. You know, I try to kept it generic just in case if we do ever do others other than the phone. But I ran into the problem of if I version it, that means I have to go into the assembly.info.cs on each of the projects, rev that, compile, do the NuGet push, or I'm sorry, rev the NuGet files as well, the NuGet spec files, compile, push, pull, you know, and it was, I would constantly forget to do one because it's, you know, sequential steps. So I went ahead, and this was the first PowerShell script I wrote, and what it does is it goes in, all I have to do is rev the version number, it goes in, updates the assembly info, builds it, revs the NuGet specs, saves those, does a NuGet pack, does a NuGet push, so then it pushes it out there, zips up all my file, all the DLLs in the release directory, and then gives me a zip file that then I can finish up the CodePlex push to the final end.
Nice.
So it's basically how I could save many, many minutes by spending lots of hours writing a complex script.
So, and for people that don't know, NuGet, it seems to be the latest, or I'd say one of the most popular ways, and you know, Phil Hack showed me the NuGet growth, because they have, it's off the hook. So a lot of people are using NuGet. The idea is making it easier to share packages.
Yeah.
A lot of people are familiar with maybe Ruby Gems. NuGet's really taking off as that way. So
it's just one of those nice ways where now you have a centralized source, you can just update stuff, and it just works rather than me having to constantly pull.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, like I said, just one way I helped, or I was trying to make my life easier, and it's fairly generic. It is, like you can see the solution file, I can abstract out a bunch of it. It kind of, a lot of the, because I had to jump around directories, so some of the stuff's hard-coded into how I structure the world,
mm-hmm.
but you can mimic this, you can rip this out, it's open source, and make it work on your projects if you, too, have a scenario like I had.
Cool. My pick of the week is actually Joey Davila had, who's an accordion guy, who actually played us off during Channel 9 Live
okay.
on day two. So kudos, that was wonderful. And he has some nice YouTube video of when you had Hanselman trying to drive Jelly Bean. So, and for people who don't know Jelly Bean, what would you say he's? I see a chair.
And
a Hanselman.
So Jelly Bean is a Kinect drivable lounge chair. So, for Mix, we wanted to create a very tangible object that people could understand. So we decided, hey, what would be cool? Kinect drivable lounge chair. And this was, I think, basically, I was one of the few people that have actually driven it. I think maybe, did you actually have a chance to drive it with a Kinect, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not straight.
It's one of those things where it took a while to get used to it, and he had, I think, 2 minutes prep time, so he had to learn to crawl and run almost instantly. So
yeah, and it was a nice crowd ready to, you know, capture any agony of defeat.
Yeah, and as you know, I'm always right next to the laptop so I can pull out the USB cord.
Yes.
It's like, oh no, he's going for the stage.
So this is cool. Hopefully you can get a nice laugh. And also all the Channel 9 live videos will be up soon.
Soon.
Nick Fillingham is working on those as well, so you can watch lots of good conversations. Lots of questions from Twitter and so forth.
And then if anyone does have questions on Jelly Bean, we will be releasing full source, full assembly instructions on how to build it. Everything is off the shelf.
Cool. All right, well, that's this week. Thank you, Clint.
Thank you, Dan.
We will see you next time.